students and friends of Ivy Classical Academy. It is a pleasure to speak to you all today on the first episode of the Ivy Classical Education Podcast. This is a bi-weekly podcast in which we will share the story of Ivy Classical Academy, a tuition-free classical public charter school opening this fall in Prattville, Alabama, with kindergarten through fifth grade. We'll also discuss and explore some aspect of classical education in each episode. There'll be a new episode every 2 weeks until the official opening of Ivy Classical Academy in August 2024. After that, we'll release a new episode each week of the school year with updates, interviews, and more to keep you up to date, give you insights into the life of the school, provide information about classical education, and hopefully to help foster discussions at home and in the car about what your children are learning in the classroom. I encourage you to listen to these podcasts with your children each week and have your own discussions about what we talk about on the podcast. With that introduction to the podcast, I'd like to introduce myself. I am Dr. David Witham, the founding head of school at Ivy Classical Academy. I'm a veteran of the United States Army, where I served as an intelligence analyst. I earned my master's and my doctoral degree in humanities at Faulkner University in Montgomery. I've been a teacher and a school leader in classical education for more than a decade. During that time, I've taught various subjects, including history, literature, and humanities at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. I've also taught college composition, humanities, and literature. My writing has been published in various journals and magazines, such as Classical Receptions Journal, Phylon, Forma Journal, and The Explicator. My first book, The Co-workers in the Kingdom of Culture, Classics and Cosmopolitanism in the Thought of W.E.B. Du Bois, was published by Oxford University Press in spring 2022. I'm very happy to have recently moved to Prattville, Alabama, along with my wife Vanessa and our three children. It's been a pleasure to join the Prattville community and to be a part of the founding effort for the first classical charter school in the state of Alabama. As you might expect, there's a lot that goes into the founding effort of a new charter school. Over the next several months, I'll start this podcast with weekly updates on all the things we're doing to get Ivy Classical Academy up, running, and ready for our first 632 students in August. Last week, Mr. Strain, our Director of Operations, and I had an excellent meeting with our construction and design teams to go through all aspects of our elementary building's design, classroom layouts, and security features. We decided things like the sorts of locks we'll have on interior and exterior doors, fencing on and around the property, the color composition of classrooms, features of the school's exterior, and much more. We've also been continuing our ongoing student enrollment efforts. So far, we've received nearly 800 applications for 632 seats. However, we're continuing to accept applications and will continue to accept student applications on an ongoing basis. While most grade levels have wait lists, several still have seats available, and those seats will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. We're also continuing to interview potential founding faculty and staff members. In particular, we're continuing to look for a dean of students who will oversee discipline and school culture. From the hundreds of applications that we've received, we've so far selected 33 of our 36 founding teachers. All of them are very impressive, and I'm looking forward to sharing their names and more about them in the coming months. This week, we added two important items to our website that we want everyone to take a look at. First, we've added supply lists for each grade level. Those are available under the Current Parents drop-down on our website. Please remember that while those supply lists are available now, the back-to-school sales tax holiday for the state of Alabama will run the third Friday in July, which this year is July 19th, until the following Sunday, this year, July 21st. The other item added to our website this week is our recommended summer reading list. Just a quick note about that summer reading list. None of the reading on our summer reading list is required. Summer break is primarily a time for rest, play, and spending time with friends and family. Our recommendations for summer reading should not be taken as a to-do list in which each book has to be read in order before returning for the beginning of the school year. Rather, reading is an excellent leisure time activity, and this list is intended as general guidance on the sort of thing that young people ought to be reading at each age. It's our hope that these books will delight and inspire our students during the summer. We also hope that they will provide an opportunity for families to enjoy reading time together. Please approach summer reading in the spirit of joyful learning. I hope that you'll be on the lookout for more updates soon. We'll very soon have updates on school uniforms and progress with our building renovations. If you're not subscribed already, please subscribe to this podcast and to our monthly newsletter. Make sure you also like us on Facebook and on Instagram, as we post frequent updates there. And now, an interview with Ivy Classical Academy's founder and board chair, Bradley Neve, about the origins of Ivy Classical Academy. I am very happy to be joined for our very first episode of the Ivy Classical Education podcast by Bradley Neve, the founder and board chair for Ivy Classical Academy. Bradley Neve is the founder of Ivy Classical Academy and is honored to serve as the chairman of the governing board. Bradley also founded the Alabama Classical Group, which was formed to establish a network of classical charter schools across the state of Alabama. As a lifelong entrepreneur, Bradley has started, acquired, and sold businesses across a number of industries. Presently, he serves as the managing director of Helios, a real estate firm specializing in mixed use and commercial development. Beyond his private sector pursuits, Bradley chairs a redevelopment authority tasked with revitalizing one of Alabama's most historically significant districts. Additionally, Bradley serves on the board of an NGO focused on chronic disease prevention and management in disadvantaged communities. Born in England and having lived in Paris and Brussels, Bradley finished high school in Atlanta before earning a degree in telecommunications management from the University of Georgia. While he and his wife Jessica met in Atlanta, the two chose to relocate to Alabama to be closer to her family as they raise their children. So welcome to Bradley Neve, and thank you for joining us. You're not a guest so much as, a distinguished person at Ivy Classical for being the driving force behind founding the school, which is what we want to talk about in this episode of the podcast. So to get started, I'd like to hear how you first heard about classical education, what your first exposure to it was.
Well, you know, the first exposure to classical education was my education. And, you know, it may not have been called a classical education back then, but growing up in Europe, there's a lot of similarities between Hillsdale's curriculum and what we were raised on over there. But, you know, if we're looking at classical education specifically, my first introduction to that was some dear family friends in Atlanta. And we were able to watch their eldest daughter through her formative years of education. It was with Atlanta Classical Academy.
Yeah.
And so they were part of that really early onset. Their daughter won a seat through the lottery, and it was, you know, a groundbreaking decision. They had to sell their house and move. But, as we watched their daughter grow up, and I'm not distinguishing differences between private schools and classical education, but also public schools and mm-hmm. classical educations, that, you know, these children that were part of Atlanta Classical Academy, there was something different.
Yeah.
And that difference is the curriculum. And so, you know, that was our first foray. And when we moved to the River Region, when we moved to Prattville, that was one of the things my wife and I discussed is, you know, we've got a young boy, another one on the way, and, you know, what do we like about the educational choices? And, mm-hmm. and you know, what we decided is, hey, we believe there's a demand, we believe there's an appetite, and we're going to do everything we can to bring a classical charter school to the area.
That's great. Yeah, so did you, when you were living in the Atlanta area, you knew folks that sent their children to Atlanta Classical Academy?
That is correct, yeah. So they were part of that first lottery.
And
so,
very first year of the school.
The very first year of the school.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And so it was a big deal. They did not live within the city limits. So you're talking about transplanting your family to get within the required zone. And so it was... you know, it was a big decision for them, but, you know, it gave us the opportunity to kind of watch and learn. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, it's some of those backyard parties where they're still children.
Right.
They're still enjoying life, but they're talking about virtue and Thomas Jefferson and all of the non-Atlanta classical mm-hmm. parents are, you know, scratching their heads, you know, looking around. So
I think that's one of the things that, in my experience working in Hillsdale affiliated classical charter schools, one of the first things that parents start to notice is the kinds of conversations that their kids are having in the back seat on their way home from school.
I remember a parent, in the first maybe month or two of the school year of a first year school, emailing me to tell me about her two fourth grade twin boys debating whether Robin Hood was, you know, morally right to do what he was doing in stealing from the rich to give to the poor, right? And so those kinds of conversations are not typical of, I think, a lot of 10-year-olds.
No, they're not. But I mean, and that's really what is attracted us to a classical curriculum is the children are not taught what to think. They're taught to think.
Yeah.
And so that's what serves as the ground for those conversations. You know, yeah. That they can have these discussions and you know, they may not always fall on the right side or the wrong side, but, yeah. You know, that's really what was a driving force for us doing this is we actually got to see the benefits of a classical education with the children of some dear friends of ours during those formative years.
That's right. Yeah. So you moved to Prattville. You're looking at the options here and you know, obviously no classical charter schools in the area, Hillsdale affiliated or otherwise. So you decided to become the founder of one. How does that decision get made?
You know, I don't know that it was a single decision, but, you know, it was just a kind of a slow process to begin with. We reached out to Hillsdale. You know, if we were going to do this, there was only one starting point, and that was Hillsdale. And so we reached out to Hillsdale. We had just missed the application window. You know, they said submit an application anyway. So
give me a timeline here.
This is 2019.
Okay.
And so we hastily threw together an application, and then Eric Quickendall, who you probably know from Hillsdale, called and said, "Hey, thanks for submitting that."
Dr. Eric Quickendall.
Doctor,
yes,
now.
Yeah.
And he said, "We're not even going to open the application."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, gee whiz, thank you." But it allowed us to kind of refine and construct a better application for round two. And, you know, it was tough. We put together an incredible board of 100% local residents, mm-hmm. but incredibly specialized, you know, municipal bond specialists, educational specialists, you know, child nutrition specialists.
Right.
We had a board that I think would be the envy of any Hillsdale charter.
Yeah.
And so they came to town. They were going to Charlotte, going to Naples, and it was very difficult not to feel like a hat on the table.
Mm.
We don't have the resources that Charlotte and Naples have, whether that's municipally or, you know, just from a private sector.
Right.
And so they came to town, beat us up in a very professional, nice manner, but nonetheless, they beat
sure.
us up. And I think they went radio silent over the holidays. And it was actually Valentine's Day when Dr. Quickendall reached out and said, "Hey, it's fitting on this day that authentic change in America has to begin in communities like Prattville. We're all in. We're extending you a rose."
And okay.
So we were one of two selected. It was us in Naples for that year, 2019, okay. And I think there were over 28 applicants.
Wow.
And so that's when it became very real.
Yeah.
And that was really the starter pistol, because
right.
then you have to go through the
mm-hmm.
the State Charter Commission.
Yeah.
And you know, we were rejected the first go around, there was an emergency reapplication cycle for all of the applicants, the entire suite, all of our cohorts were rejected, and again we were able to refine the application, address any kind of what they would construe as deficiencies, and
right.
so we were awarded a charter. Yeah, that was for Autauga County. The facilities that we've been looking at have always been in Elmore County. We were
yeah.
working with local representatives to kind of make that a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Elmore County reached out. And so, you know, that added some time, but we decided to kind of migrate our charter from Autauga County to Elmore County.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought High Point into play. Richard Dennis, the superintendent at Elmore County, has been one of the more genuine individuals you'll ever meet.
Yeah,
he's
great.
He's our biggest cheerleader and our biggest advocate. You know, he views classical education as a need.
Yeah.
And so we're absolutely thrilled to be able to work hand in hand with him and be a part of the Elmore County system.
Agreed. Yeah. And so, what do you think were the biggest challenges that you encountered along the way? You know, from 2019 to now, 2024. Right. This school's been in the works for 5 years, and going through this. Sort of rounds of approvals, you know, with Hillsdale accepting it as a potential member school, and then the State Charter Commission, and now Elmore County. What were the challenges along the way that, you know, might come with anyone who wants to start a classical charter school like ours?
Absolutely, and it's more, you know, I don't like the term, but I'm going to use it anyway, but a series of ambushes.
Mm.
And you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And so most groups that start or go through the process of starting a charter school, you don't do it more than once.
Right.
unless you're a part of a broader network. Yeah. But it's I wouldn't say they were self-inflicted wounds, but we just didn't know. We'd get to the State Charter Commission. It was a very liberally minded evaluator.
Sure.
And they didn't gel with a classical education. And right, so right. when we had to go before them again, mm-hmm. it gave us an opportunity to we peel back the layers on the onion and really explain to them why classical education works for all children,
right.
of all races,
right.
of all socioeconomic backgrounds.
That's right.
They were essentially saying, well, this is just a rich private school curriculum. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, actually, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the 10 reasons why.
That's right.
And so it wasn't so much that there were any insurmountable obstacles. It's just, as we're, plugging along, something would pop up. Now, there were plenty of private citizens that have tried to make this process mm-hmm. miserable. And that's because they view charter schools as an elitist. We get to pick all the students. We're stealing money from the public system, and none of that is true. As people have now gone through the process, this is an unbiased lottery system. We have special needs students. We have English second language students. We have impoverished students. Yeah. We run the gamut just like any public school, and so what we're doing is providing another public school option.
Right.
School choice.
That's right. That's an excellent point, right? Yeah. That is one of the prevailing criticisms of charter schools in general is that they are, that we don't accept all students, right? But in reality, we're a public school.
Yeah.
And in a public school that has to accept and does accept and welcomes, right, every student who applies given that we have the capacity for it. And then classical schools specifically, they often get tagged with that accusation of being elitist or of being only for a certain demographic of students. But I think just looking at the wider Hillsdale network of schools alone, right, this is only, 24, 25 schools, but among hundreds of classical schools, but even that 24 or 25 schools that are now part of the Hillsdale network, if you're looking at the demographics of those schools, location of those schools, it's everywhere from, Orange County, California to, suburbs of Detroit, Michigan to, obviously Atlanta Classical, the one that you had exposure to, and now, of course, Ivy Classical. So across the country, various communities, various settings, and everywhere that you go, these schools are being very, very successful. Atlanta Classical, of course, winning an award recently. They're in their 10th year now, winning an award from Hillsdale College and another from the state of Georgia for their efforts to educate a diverse group of students in Metro Atlanta.
Well, absolutely. And it was really when we were going through the application process at the state level, we knew we had to present a broad overview of classical schools. So we broke away from just looking at Hillsdale schools. And if you look at classical schools across the nation, you've got some on Navajo reservations.
That's right.
You've got some
Hosho Classical Academy in New Mexico.
You've got some that are 100% minority, 100% impoverished. You have some that are on the other end of the spectrum where the you're in more of a affluent suburban setting.
That's right.
But to your point, they all work.
Yep.
And they all have waiting lists that are, I think Hillsdale's average waiting list across the network is 50% of enrollment.
That's right.
And so the parents see that it's working and want their children to go there.
That's right.
So, that was one of the key indicators that kind of drove us towards Hillsdale. Apart from the curriculum, if it wasn't working, you would have no waiting list.
Mm. Yeah, right, exactly. Parents are choosing this for their children, and parents from diverse backgrounds are choosing it for their children.
Yep.
That's key, right? So talk to me about the facility, right? This has been part of that as well. How did High Point choose us? Might be the way to put it. Why that place?
The location.
Yeah.
And so you've got experience. You earned your several of your degrees from down the road in Montgomery.
That's right.
So
from Faulkner University.
But a lot of people don't understand, Prattville is a city that is split in between two counties.
That's right.
Very, very close to Montgomery County, which is, but all three of those counties are geographically huge.
Yeah.
And so, you've got the I-65, you got 82, you got 14. So in terms of strategic location to serve Autauga and Elmore County, that was the location.
It's
not only for the school, but if parents are working parents or if grandparents are bringing the kids in and they're working, they're usually going to flow through close to that corridor. And so the facility spoke to us. I started looking at them. There's absolutely no plans on record. It was built by AIG Baker in the early 2000s, 2004, 2005. Went through bankruptcy. So getting information was very, very difficult, but I did manage to track down the general contractor using the same technology and techniques. It's called Tilt Up Construction. They build exclusively now charter schools up and down the Eastern Seaboard using this model. And so, we've had several parties come down and look at this, whether it's engineers, whether it's, GCs, and the comments are always the same. This was born to be a charter school.
Yeah.
They have never seen a canvas like this.
Absolutely.
And so, from a retail perspective, it was hampered. You don't have the visibility that is needed. And so, a lot of people have given the current owners a bad rap because they feel that there's some quote unquote tax advantage to keeping these spaces empty. If that were the case, every mall in America would be empty. It's really a case of incredible facilities poorly located for retail that we're going to be able to capitalize on. And so the Ball Ventures Clearview, BVCV, Ball Ventures Clearview, have been extremely patient with the school. They've been with us every step of the way for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They're one of the more patient landowners we've ever dealt with.
Great.
and patience is needed when you're trying to start a school. So,
absolutely.
We've got nothing but respect and thanks for Ball Ventures and everybody up there.
Absolutely. The last question that I have for you is, what advice do you have for others, parents, community members, community leaders who want to start a classical school in their community? One of the most common emails that I receive is, how, especially with us being the first classical charter school in the state of Alabama, is how do I bring one of these to Mobile or Huntsville or Birmingham?
That's a very good question. And the answer, I don't think it will be shocking, but, when you made the introduction, you mentioned the Alabama Classical Group.
Yeah.
And so now that we have Ivy Classical Academy open, it was, the decision to open a school was where this thing was born. But as we kind of started this process 5-6 years ago, we now understand that the need is broader. And so now the desire is Ivy is the first and will always be the first public classical charter school in the state. But we now have the capacity to expand upon our existing charter. And so whether that's working with the state charter commission, whether that's working with local authorizers, we should really be the first call. And so what we need to do is set up a way for parents and community members that are inquiring about Huntsville or Auburn or Tuscaloosa, Mobile, across the board, that they just need to reach out, because if classical education is the goal, it cannot be independent from Hillsdale's curriculum.
Yeah, agreed.
You're just kind of shooting yourself in the foot. If you want to go through that process, why not go for the best in the business? And that's how we feel about Hillsdale.
Hillsdale College has definitely proven themselves to be that.
Exactly.
So, good.
And so in terms of challenges, most people try and start a charter school because they feel they can do it better.
Mm.
I would say that school choice does require a different curriculum.
Yeah.
School choice isn't just a different group of leaders. It should be, there should be something truly different about the choice. But regardless of where you want to be, the biggest challenge for us, the biggest obstacle has been facilities. And so I think that should be the first step, is identify facilities that can absorb the student population, that can satisfy the needs of the school. And if you can get that box checked, I'm not saying that it's any easier to get through the process, but that is the largest stumbling block.
Yeah.
You can do everything right, get your charter approved, find a great school leader such as yourself. If you don't have a facility,
have to have classrooms. That is the key. Yeah. And that has only gotten more challenging in the current interest rate environment.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So great. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope that everyone who's listening also enjoyed hearing more about the founding effort behind Ivy Classical Academy. And I hope that we remain excited for August and our first students in the building.
Yep, a lot of excitement. Happy to be here and honored to be the first guest.
Thank you.
Thank you.